You could call it the curse of the late blooming Swede. It's a real curse, I'll tell you. You see, I didn't always used to be 6'3". At one point in my life, I remember back to my eighth grade year, I was trying out for the high school tennis team. I was about the height of the racket. Standing up, I was a good at least 5'3", and I looked like I was about 8. And I still remember I ended up playing tennis that year for part of the year with a doubles partner who was a senior in high school at the time, and looked to me like, you know, he was a fully grown man at the time. And I can't imagine what others who played us must have thought as this, you know, guy who's fully grown with, you know, could grow a beard probably in a day is walking around with his 8-year-old. I mean, what's going on? And that was me. It was a real curse to me. In eighth grade, you know, here I wanted to be a basketball player, and here I was running up around other people's kneecaps and trying to pester them. And really at that point, there became a certain steady process of growth. By my senior year in high school, I was probably about 6'2", and then continued growing on into college. And I thought, well, thanks, this is very helpful for my athletic career. Why didn't I have it when I actually could have used it back in high school? Well, what was I in desperate desire of, in desperate need of in my high school athletic career? I needed a growth spurt. Come on, it's no fair for me to be, just because of my Swedish genes that I'm 5'3" in eighth grade and don't have any muscle to save my life. And then even when I'm in a senior in high school, I'm, you know, 170 pounds dripping wet. Come on, give me a growth spurt here. Well, some of you may be in the same position. I'm looking over at some of these teenage boys over here. Maybe some of them are looking for a growth spurt too. But you know, there's an application here to our own lives, to our spiritual lives. Because we read this morning, Brother Jerry read for us, a passage in 2 Peter chapter 3 that is a challenge to each and every single one of us. It's a challenge to us today on this day of the sad news of our friend Paul's passing. It reminds us that we are living in a world that is facing extreme destruction, complete and total annihilation, and that we are not looking to the things that this earth has to offer. We are looking ahead to a new heaven and to a new earth, Peter says, wherein dwelleth righteousness. And then we come to the end of this passage, and Peter has a wonderful remark to make to these dear brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. He says to them in verse 17, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." What steadfastness? What does it mean to be steadfast? It means to stand firmly, to stand strongly, to not be able to be pushed off your stance very easily. Now, what does he say in verse 18? "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." This morning, we're going to talk about a message entitled, "A Spiritual Growth Spurt." A spiritual growth spurt. And my question for each of us is whether we would find ourselves in need of some spiritual growth. If we are there as 8th grade Peter Magnuson at 5'3" and puny, saying, "It's time for me to start growing. It's time for me to start becoming strengthened. It's time for me to experience a spiritual growth spurt." We're going to talk about this in 3 points. We're going to start, first of all, with the priority. A priority. The priority of the Christian life, as Peter presents it for us, is to grow. It's to grow. It's to become bigger, so to speak. It's to become stronger. As a young person goes from a child to a very immature frame, a very immature body, and eventually grows up to be a man with his man muscles, so to speak, to be fully developed. That is also the picture of spiritual growth that Peter lays before us. Now, first of all, it starts with a prerequisite. This priority starts with a prerequisite. What is required for you to be growing? I'd say one aspect that's pretty important would be for you to be alive. Now, how many of you, now I'm talking to you children now here too, how many of you have ever possessed, owned, or played with a baby doll? How many? Daniel Mulder, get your hand up. Yes, that's absolutely right. Don't be ashamed. It's okay. Now, in those, I just got a very simple question for you. Of those baby dolls that you have owned, how many of them have ever grown and gotten bigger and turned into an adult baby doll? Any of them? I don't think so. Why? There's no ability to grow. You could look at that baby doll and say, hey, start growing. Get a growth spurt, okay? It's about time. There's no life there. There's no ability to grow. The baby doll doesn't have the essential prerequisite to growth, which is life. And so the same is true of our spiritual lives. When Peter tells these recipients of this letter, he says, grow in grace. He's assuming something about them. They have grace to begin with. They have life. They have received the life of God. Remember what we talked about last week in the morning service? We talked about a living word in a dying world. And it's the word of God that is the seed that goes into the soil of our hearts and creates new life. And remember what we said that in 1 Peter 2 and verse 1, that as newborn babes, Peter says, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. So it is with us. If the word of God hasn't created new life in our hearts, if we've never been born again, we can't grow spiritually. There's no point. There's no ability for us to grow in grace if we have no grace. And so this morning, if you are here today and you've never seen any spiritual growth in your life, there's been absolute deadness in your walk with God, it may be time to step back and say, am I alive? Has the Word of God ever created new life in me? Have I ever trusted in Jesus Christ for eternal life? Have I ever asked Him to save me? If you haven't, you're not going to grow. And the rest of this message isn't really going to make a lot of sense to you. There's a prerequisite. You have to be alive. Secondly, there's a practice. A practice. Isn't it interesting that Peter says to these believers, he says, grow in grace. What does that mean? It's a command. It's a declarative statement. You grow in grace. Now, that's a little bit odd, right? If I went up to one of these young men over here and said, okay, Wayne, it's time for you to start growing. Grow. Wayne might very well say, I can't do anything about it. I can eat, but I can't force my growth plates to do something that I can't do. I can't make myself get taller. I can't force myself to get up to 7 feet tall. Well, isn't it interesting in our spiritual lives that Peter looks at them and says, grow. Grow. In other words, there is a responsibility placed upon us to grow in our spiritual lives. The great Christian author A.W. Tozer said, and I'm paraphrasing, but that every man is just as holy as he wants to be. You could also say it this way, every man, every woman, every Christian is growing spiritually just as much as they want to be. And so it is incumbent upon us not just to look around and say, well, I'm not growing. I can't help it. There's nothing I can do about it. To look at this passage and see the message of Peter. Grow. You're a Christian? Start growing. Hit a growth spurt. And an interesting practice this is here. Third, let's understand the period. The period of this growth. The time span. The length of this growth. How long do we have to grow in our spiritual lives? Now, you know, I've reached the age where I'm not growing up anymore. I may be growing out, but I'm not growing up anymore. And so each of us reach a point in our life, thankfully for me it wasn't before eighth grade, where we are done growing. Our growth plates have lengthened, they've gone as just as much as they're going to do. That's not true for us spiritually. Growth in grace is every bit as important for you, whether you've been saved for 80 years or whether you've been saved for 8 days. Now, I got a question. I'm interested in this. If you have been saved, if you have been born again for less than 1 year, would you raise your hands this morning? If you can say it was within the last year that I got saved, it was within the last year that I came to Jesus Christ. Anybody like that here this morning? What about if it's been 1 year to 5 years? Within the last 5 years is the time that you got saved, was the time that you came to know the Lord. What about 5 to 10 years? 5 to 10 years ago was the time you became a new creature in Jesus Christ. Okay, let's broaden it out a little bit. What about 10 to 20 years? Within the last 10 to 20 years, you came to Jesus Christ and got saved. 20 to 30 years. Okay, 20 to 30 years. 30 to 40 years. Okay, we've got some 30 to 40-year-old Christians here today. What about 40 to 50 years? Who have been some new creatures in Christ for 40 to 50 years? All right, what about 50 to 60 years? Aunt Pat, this was... Okay, so yesterday I celebrated my Aunt Pat's 80th birthday party with her. She is here today. You'd say, man, you don't look... you can't be 80 years old. That's not true. Aunt Pat, how long have you been born again? All right, we're doing some math here. 64 years that Aunt Pat has been, my Aunt Pat has been in Jesus Christ. You know something? She'd be the first to tell you that her need for growing in grace is just as critical and just as important as the person who has been growing in grace for 6 months, 6 years, 16 years, whatever it is. All of us are in the same place. Don't ever get to the point in your spiritual life where you think, I've got it. I've figured it out. I've got my Christian life in order. I've been saved for this long. No, we are always growing. This command is just as important for you, for my Aunt Pat, as it is for the newest Christian in here. So first of all, let's understand the priority. The priority is that we grow, and it's a responsibility for all of us to take part, to have a role in our spiritual growth. Secondly, let's understand the process of this growth. It is growth in grace. Growth in grace. What does that mean? Well, what is grace? If we're going to understand what growth in grace is, we need to understand what grace is to know whether we can grow in it. Now, if you have a critical scriptural term like grace, it's kind of hard to come up with a real encompassing definition of it. But let's give it just a shot, okay? God's grace, what grace is presented in scripturally, is something like this. God's favor, God's resources, God's riches that are poured out on you in Christ Jesus, completely undeservedly. In other words, let's say that again. God's resources available to you through Christ Jesus and undeservedly for anything that you have done or any merit that you've given. It is God's favor poured out to you. And we see that grace in Jesus Christ. We celebrate it this Christmas season that the greatest gift ever given was Jesus Christ coming down to earth to offer himself as a sacrifice for each of our sins and to allow us to come to God and to become saved and to be born again. That is the greatest gift. And it is a wonderful picture of God's grace. Now here's a question for you. Can we grow in grace in that sense? In other words, is grace growing in us? Oh, you say, that sounds like maybe a little bit of a trick question. Well, the truth is, God's grace gets no bigger for you today than it is next week, than it is next year, than the year after. In other words, if you're looking at the ocean of God's grace, there's no addition to it. God's love has no bottom. God's love has no width that we can quantify. It is eternal. It is His resources that are poured out on us are so wonderfully magnificent that it's never that we're saying, God, would you make your grace a little bit more? No, His grace is infinite. His grace is inexhaustible. There's no growth of that grace. It is us to grow in that grace, to grow in our understanding and our acknowledgement of that grace. First of all, I want to understand in this process a deception. A deception. It's one that I've seen in my life, and that's why I want to hold it out for you today. When we think of growing in grace, when we think of growing spiritually, when we think of drawing closer to God and becoming a stronger Christian, it's very easy for us to look solely at outcomes to decide whether we're growing or not. You know, I look back in some ways at my career as a student with some regret because I realized that I was the very definition of an outcome-based student. I had what I put in mind. I said, I want to get that grade. And I'm going to do whatever I have to do to get that grade and not a bit more. How much better it is to have process-based students who to say, yes, I want to do well. Yes, I want to excel. But I'm here to learn. I'm here to suck in absolutely as much of this knowledge, as much of this information as I can, and to learn something from it, and to be edified by it, and to go forward in light of that. And yet, when we look at things just as outcomes only, I just want this outcome, we end up missing a lot of the purpose for one of education. I'm going to suggest to you that it's the exact same thing spiritually. How do we judge the growth in our spiritual lives? Am I growing spiritually? All right, well, am I showing up at church every week? That's an outcome. Well, am I reading my Bible? Am I reading my Bible? Have I been faithful this week? Have I checked off every box of my Bible reading this week? Well, I must be growing then. Did I pray this week? Was I at prayer meeting? I must be growing in grace then. Man, I was even out knocking on doors yesterday. I was even out telling people about, I must absolutely be growing in grace. Well, I'm going to suggest to you that we need to step back from that outcome-based Christianity and start looking at a process-based Christianity. What is going on internally? You know another way this happens for us? We measure our Christian life based solely on how we're doing in victory over specific sins. Our whole life is, how did I do in that area this week? Oh man, I did better than that. I didn't fear as much this week. That must mean that I'm growing in grace. Or we can narrow it even down more specifically. Some people would say, oh man, I've really been fighting against this failure that I have in the area of pornography. And I'm really struggling. I'm really fighting against that. Hey, I had victory for a whole week. I must be growing. You know, my question to that person though would be, do you think God only wants victory in that specific area? How's your thought life doing? How's your other life? How's your other life in the victory in your struggle against lust? And sometimes when we only select a very specific outcome, we say, how am I doing in that area? Oh, that must mean I'm growing in grace. We're missing the picture. God wants us to grow completely in grace. He wants us to grow in the understanding, in internal grace that will then produce outward results. But not just looking at outward results. I don't know if you've ever played basketball with the type of person who is a really, really terrible player, and they'll grab the ball and a guy will be draped all over them, and they go and they fire it up from way over their head with terrible form. The guy's draped all over them, and sure enough, it banks off the backboard and goes in. And that guy goes walking down the court like, yeah, did you see that? Did you see that? You say, no, come on. That you maybe got an outcome that you liked, But that's not repeatable. What God wants for us is a growth in grace that is going to be a consistent growth in grace all throughout our life. Let's look not at the outcome, but let's look at what God is doing internally in our lives. So first of all, there's a deception. Let's understand, secondly, the delivery. Growth in grace. If we are going to understand growth in grace, we need to understand who is delivering, in a sense, that grace to us. The Bible defines, or it calls the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of grace and of truth. Do you know it's the Holy Spirit that is dwelling inside you, that is an instrument of God's grace to you? It is part of God's grace to you as a new creature in Christ Jesus. And if you're going to understand what it is to grow in grace, we need to understand the work of the Holy Spirit within us. If you want to grow, it's going to need to be because the Holy Spirit is ministering to you, ministering food to you through the Word of God. Last week we talked about, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby. You know what you're going to need if you're going to grow in grace, if you're going to become a stronger Christian, if you're going to be a Christian who is undergoing a growth spurt? It's because you're in the Word of God. It's because the living Word of God is being applied to your heart as food by the Holy Spirit that's within you. You know, that's something different than just coming here and just quick getting your Bible reading done for the day and making sure, okay, that chapter is done. I'm going to check that off the box. I'm going to check that box off. I'm done with that for the day. No, growth in grace is treating this Word of God like our food, like the food that we come to every day to say, God, I don't want the stale leftover bread. I don't want the same thing that I had yesterday. I want new food today, right now. Holy Spirit of God, feed me through your Word. That's how we're going to grow. That's how we're going to grow spiritually through the delivery of the Holy Spirit. Third, let's talk about the development. The development that is this growth in grace. You might say of someone who is growing, wow, that person's really developing. That person is really growing up and developing right in front of our eyes. And that is really a picture of what our growth in grace is like. It is a development. And it's pictured at the very start of 2 Peter, 2 Peter and chapter 1. Turn in your Bibles just back a couple chapters to 2 Peter chapter 1. Look at what Peter says here in verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. In other words, he takes for granted that your faith is there, because otherwise you wouldn't be a child of God. Otherwise you wouldn't be born again. So he says, you have faith, now add to that virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, self-control, and to temperance, the self-control, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. What is he saying here? All these things are part of the grace of God that he's given to us. What does Scripture describe as the fruits of the Spirit? Something that the Spirit of God produces in us? Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance. All these things that the Spirit of God gives us as an aspect of God's grace. And now Peter here is saying, grow in those things. Become strengthened in those things. Develop in those things. And notice again, he places the onus on the Christian. He places the responsibility on the Christian. He says, you add to your faith virtue. You strive to add. Give diligence to add to your virtue, knowledge, and on down the line. Now look at verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, what does it mean to abound? That means to become abundant. That means to become full. That means to be growing and increasing in you. In other words, this is the same kind of growth that Peter is talking about later. For if these things be in you and abound, they are growing in you, you are growing in them. They make you that ye shall neither be barren, that's empty, nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You know what the requirement, the need for our grace, our growing in grace is? That we would come and see the development in our lives. From our faith being built upon with these graces, our faith being strengthened, our faith added to virtue, to moral purity and cleanness in our lives, so that this growth in grace shows itself in us looking around and saying, what area of my life needs to be purged next? What needs to be cleansed over here? What needs to be changed here? In what way can I become more holy? And to virtue knowledge, to be understanding the truths of Scripture, not to be led away by false doctrine. Things like self-control, the ability for us to deny ourselves, to say no to our flesh, to say, no, I'm not going to be following you, flesh, in that area. Now, here's the wonderful truth about all those things. There's always another part of grace for you to be strengthened in. I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care how much you know about the gospel. I don't care how much you've memorized of Scripture. There is something else in your life for you to grow in. There's another virtue for you to add. There's another layer of self-control. There's a little more knowledge for you to get. There's another aspect of grace that's ahead. You're not done growing. There's another growth spurt that's needed. Now let's bring this right down to the bottom shelf, so to speak, for each of us. Some of you, I look around at some of you children, some of you teenagers. I've recognized some of you coming for years upon years. Are you growing in grace? Are you becoming developed in your spiritual life? Or are you the same little baby that you've always been spiritually? Some of you other adults that have been coming, young people that have maybe grown up in this church, you know everything there is to know, at least you feel like, about the Bible. Is your virtue growing? In other words, are you becoming more holy day by day? There's really a pretty good rule of thumb to just step back and ask yourself. If the fruit of the Spirit is love, do I love God today more than I did 1 year ago? If not, where's the growth? Where's the growth in grace? Are you more loving of other people around you than you were a year ago? If you see a flat line, then we need a growth spurt. Are you more virtuous? Are you more living your life in purity and moral cleanliness than you were a year ago or 6 months ago? And you can go down the line of these things that Peter is exhorting us to add. Am I more self-controlled than I was a year ago? Is the Spirit more and more controlling me and the things that I do? Oh, don't look at just outcomes. Don't just look at whether you can show up at church and do something any unsaved person could do. You know, isn't it a challenging thought when we start to think, oh, pat ourselves on the back for all our Christian service? To think that there are people out in this very city that are going out spreading a false gospel with far more zeal and with far more heart and responsibility that they feel than those of us who know the truth. Is that a result of growth and grace for them? No, they're spiritually dead. So don't look at just things that you're willing to pat yourself on the back for to ask whether you're growing in grace. Look to see whether the Spirit of God is changing you from the inside out, whether you're getting victory over besetting sins, and not just in specific areas, but over the whole of your life. That is growth in grace. So first of all here, we see the priority. We need to grow. Every single one of us in this room, if we are believers, has a responsibility to grow in grace. The second aspect is the process. that we are growing in grace, that we are growing in God's favor and in his resources for us. And third, let's talk about the progress. The progress. You see, Peter doesn't just leave it there by saying, grow in grace. He knows that we need something if we truly are going to grow in that grace. And that's why Peter follows it up and says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Friend, if you want to grow in grace this morning, it's not going to come apart from knowing the grace giver. If you want to grow and be strengthened and be developed in your spiritual life today, you're not going to get it in any way, other way than by knowing more of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now let's start, first of all, by understanding a distinction. A distinction. Notice the word that Peter uses here. He doesn't say grow in the knowledge about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He says grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We've talked about this distinction before, but I'll bring it out again. If I were to ask the people in this room, if I were to say, how many of you know Barack Obama? A lot of people would raise your hands. You say, man, I know him. Who is he? He's the president of the United States. And I could say, hey, what are some facts about him? Well, he's this number, the president of the United States. He was reelected. He's coming up on the end of his term in office. These are some facts about him. He went to law school at Harvard. He did all these things. And then if I asked you, no, I didn't ask how many of you know about Barack Obama. I say, how many of you actually know him personally? Then how many hands would go up? How many of you actually stood and shaken his hand? And probably a lot of hands would go right back down. Now I wonder about how many of us are relying in growth of grace because we can know everything there is to know, we think, about Jesus Christ. Oh, we know all the truths of how he came to earth. We could quote the gospel for you. We could give the gospel to someone else. We know all about him. We have been fed scripturally. You say, man, I sat under the ministry of Roger Magnus and I'm a well-fed, very knowledgeable Christian. Well, that's all well and good. But that's not what Peter said. He didn't say grow in the knowledge about our Lord and Savior. He said grow in the knowledge of him. And that word knowledge implies experience. Is your growth in grace because you've experienced Jesus Christ on a day-by-day level? Because Christ liveth in you, as Paul says, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. When I come to his word in the morning, I see him proclaimed, and I come more to love him and to know him more as he truly is. I flee to him as refuge when I'm fearful. I go to him when I'm doubting. I go to him when I'm sad, and he gives me grace. He pours out his favor upon me, and I say, Jesus Christ, I know you better. I know you more. I've experienced your grace. I've experienced who you are. You know, friend, if you want to grow in the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, what better way is there to grow in love than to go and gaze at the foot of the cross on the one who poured out his love for us so undeservedly? Oh, it's then that we can look and say, yes, you loved me first, and therefore I love you in return. What else do you want to grow in? You want to grow in meekness? You want to grow in humility? What about going to get to know the one more who laid aside all his crown, laid aside all his glory to come to earth and in meekness take the death of the cross? Endure such contradiction of sinners against himself for you. Do you think that's a way to grow in meekness and grow in humility? Yes. You're not going to get that by just trying to fill your mind with facts. It's going to be because you're looking on Jesus Christ and him crucified. Secondly, there's a deepening here. The knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ implies a great experience that we can't even plumb all the way to the depths of. It was a year ago today, at least in Sunday terms, it was the second Sunday that I was preaching as the pastor of Straight Gate Church, and I talked about the Gospel River. from Ezekiel chapter 47. And I exhorted each of us to walk more into that gospel river, to go from the ankles to the knees, and the knees to the waist, and the waist until we could not swim in that anymore. And I think this is a wonderful picture of what that is. Grow in the knowledge. Not that the river needs to grow anymore. It's that we need to get more into it. Experience more and more of the grace of God for each of us. Again, that's not going to come by pouring facts into your head about who God is. It's going to come by experiencing Him. Friends, do you know what that might require for each of us? It might require putting away this thing, this cell phone, a little more often. It might require turning off that TV a little bit more. It might require not going to that sporting event quite so often, or running out shopping so often, or pursuing the things that we want to do. If we really want to get to God and say, I want to know not just about you, I want to know you more. I want to know my Lord and Savior more. I want to come into a greater reality of who He is. It's time to start putting aside the things that are making us grow in every way but spiritually. Oh, some of us here might be growing more than anybody else in your ability to recite sports news. You can recite every single statistic. You're as strong as it can be in that area. But when it comes to growing in grace, there's nothing there. Oh, growing in pop culture knowledge. Know every song on the radio and who sung it, but you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not growing in grace. It's time to get serious. Peter says to each of us, it's time for you to grow. It's time for you to have a growth spurt. And that's the challenge to my heart and to every one of our hearts here. So first we see a distinction, secondly a deepening, a greater awareness, a greater understanding, a greater experience of the grace of God. And third, let's understand a defense. A defense. I love what Peter says here and how he combines this together logically. He says, ye therefore, in verse 17, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace. Friend, if you're concerned today about being led away in error, if you're concerned about falling away from your own steadfastness, falling away from your own endurance in your Christian life, do you know what the best defense is? They said in sports, the best defense is a good offense. And it is in our Christian lives that the best defense to our falling away into error, walking away from the Lord, or simply just not being as stable as He would have us to be, is to grow in grace. It's to grow not in just our head understanding, but in our heart experience of who God is, of who Jesus Christ is, and the grace that He's pouring out on each of us. You know, friends, if you're seeing that instability in your spiritual lives, if you're seeing that fear or that doubt or that double-mindedness that is causing you to become very, very unstable, it's time to start growing in grace. It's time to start understanding the grace that He has prepared for you. So today I ask you, as I asked at the beginning of this message, is it time for a growth spurt? As you look back to your life this last year, we're coming up on the end of another year. Have you seen spiritual growth this year? Have you seen virtues added to your faith? Have you seen self-control added to your virtues? Have you seen God at work in your life, transforming you more and more into the image of His Son? Or have you just been treading water in your instability, treading water in your lack of growth, and growing in absolutely everything else in your life but in grace? Today I pray that if you're here not growing in grace because you don't have any life in you, you don't have the ability to grow, that today would be the day of salvation for you. But if you're here today and you're not growing, even though you're a new creature in Jesus Christ, that today would be the day of a growth spurt, day of looking ahead this week, this month, this upcoming year, to seeing a development in the grace of God as it's experienced in your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful passage from the book of 2 Peter. Thank you for the responsibility of our Christian lives to grow in grace. Thank you that grace is of no merit of our own, that we have no we're not deserving even to be sanctified by your Spirit, but that you give us all the resources we need to grow in grace. You have given us such a wonderful ocean of your love and your forgiveness. You've given us this marvelous gospel river to strengthen and to support us in our journey through life. Father, I pray here today that we would be a growing church, a church that's growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And now, as we do at the end of every service, we'll just take a moment. If you're here this morning, you're not growing in grace because you're not spiritually alive. You're not a new creature in Christ Jesus because you've never been born again. Today can be the day of salvation for you, friend. Today can be the day that you become born again. We always leave a moment at the end of this service. If anyone wishes, they can slip out from the aisle or from the pew where they are, come down the aisle to these steps, and someone will come and take the Bible and show you how you can be born again, how you can have that new life experienced in you. Is there anybody that would come today for salvation? And while we wait with our head bowed and our eyes closed, if you are a believer today, whether one that's been saved this year or for more than 60, are you growing in grace? Let's ask the Holy Spirit to shine His candle, His spotlight in us, and to show us where we need to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's take a moment. Father, I pray for the spiritual children that are here among us, that they, whether young or old, they would grow into mature believers, that each one of us would grow in grace this week and in the months ahead. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand for the closing grace. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us all now and forevermore. Amen.